Glad you all could be here again. We're gonna look at something real quick from Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We're looking again at the at what we see here with Cain and what he did with his brother Abel. And many of us, we know that story is both of them, these two brothers, sons of Adam and Eve, as adults, they decided to sacrifice to God. And we see that Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. And there are different theories as to why, but I think the most likely reason why it wasn't accepted is because Cain brought the leftovers, while Abel gave the best of his flock. And so that is th there are different reasons for that. But then we see in verses 6 and 7 something very peculiar and kind of interesting about the nature of sin. And I want to talk about this because this nature of sin is so damaging to all of us because sin affects us all. As we talked about in Sam's class a little while ago, preachers are not immune to sin. People, nobody is immune to the effects and the ravages of sin that it has on our lives. And so I wanted to look at this particular passage because it tells us how a couple things about sin that I think is a good thing to consider. Verse 6, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." So the idea here of sin, we see that the idea that we need to, of course, do well and to be accepted to God, to do the right thing, to follow His will. And we see that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, right? Those who enter into the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of the Father who is in heaven, right? And so that's the idea that we see here. In verse 7, we also see that what happens if we do not do well. Here's what sin does. Sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. This is the idea that sin is like a predator waiting to come and attack you and gobble you up. It reminds me of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 that describes Satan as a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour. And so that's another very interesting thing to consider, that sin is just waiting for each and every opportunity to sink its clenches into you and not let go. Not only that, we see that its desire is for you. Its desire is for you. This word for desire isn't simply the kind of desire that we might think of. Oh, I'd like that cupcake, or I want that steak, or I want that car. It's not that kind of desire. This is a kind of desire that says, "Hey, I want to rule over you. I want to dominate you." And that's what sin wants to do to each one of us, to lie at the door, can't wait to get its claws, its teeth into you, and can't wait to dominate you. That reminds me again of Romans chapter 6, where we see that those who are not in Christ are slaves of sin. Certainly, isn't that the case? Before we became a Christian, when we were living in a way that isn't in line with what the Bible wants of us, weren't we slaves to sin? Wasn't it desiring us? Wasn't it domineering over us? Didn't it have its jaw, its claws, and its teeth it sunk into us? Didn't it want to devour us just like the devil does? But then he says here, the Lord says to Cain, yeah, it's coming for you. But here's what you should do. You should rule over it. You should rule over it. Now, is that something that we can do on our own? Well, Romans chapter 6 again says that's not something that we can do really. Romans chapter 6 goes into the idea that we become, once we obey the gospel, that idea of obeying the gospel there is in Romans chapter 6. That in fact, let's turn there. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, we see the passage here in verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that you that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So while sin was domineering over us, we had the opportunity to rule over it, right? To say, no, I'm not going to go in that direction. I am going to make my righteousness my master. And so that is what Paul ends up saying here. Kind of going along with what we see with what God, with the Lord is telling Cain in this instance, you should rule over it. But thank be God that though you were slaves of sin, though sin ruled over you, desired you, even then you ruled over it by obeying from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Man, isn't that great? Isn't that great? Sin is a terrible thing that will, if it can get its jaws into you, it's not going to let go. We have to be able to beat it back. And we have to be able to say, hey, I'm not going to be a slave to sin anymore. I want to be a slave to the Lord. I want to be his servant. I want to follow after him. Because in the end, we see that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We see a little bit later in verse 23. We see the outcome of that sin. And for Cain, it was banishment, and who knows what else, other punishments that he received as a result of that. So for Abel, of course, he was killed, and the righteous line may have been cut off until Seth came along. So for us, let us present ourselves as slaves to obey the Lord. Let us obey from the heart that form of doctrine. What form of doctrine are we talking about? Why? It's that picture of teaching that we see in the scriptures, in particular, what we see at the first part of this chapter. Or do you not know, verse 3, that many of us, as we're baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That is the form of doctrine that we need to obey. And that form, if you didn't quite catch it there, is first off, believing, because you got to obey it from the heart. It's not something that you can just obey and you don't do it from the heart. You've got to obey it from the heart. You've got to believe in Jesus. Believe what you're doing is for salvation. Believe in him. Repent of your sin, ruling over that sin. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, of course, but it means you're going to make that decision to rule over that sin. It means you say, hey, I'm not going to go in that direction anymore. I want to go in the right direction. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You know, there are things that you're not going to be able to make yourself perfect before you become a Christian. That's just not going to happen. We need Christ in our lives to be able to fully do that, or to do that to our greatest potential. And so let us repent of our sins, turn away from them, and say, I'm not going to do them anymore, and follow after the Lord. We're not going to be perfect, but we're going to follow him. Confess our sins before, or not, excuse me, confess. I did it again. Confess the name of the Lord. Confess Christ before others. And that's what we need to do in order to be saved. And then be baptized so that we might be saved. All these things we need to do for our salvation. Believe, repent, confess the name of Christ, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. I encourage you to do that this evening. We'll help you out. If you are on, if you are local, we'll help you do just that. If you are not local, if you are a distance away, then we can contact someone to help you do just that, to help you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian and you need to make things right with God, I encourage you to do that today, to let us know so that we can pray for you and we can accept you in the fellowship of the Lord. I encourage you to do what's right, to make things right with him. Repent of your sin. And if you are a Christian, repent and confess that sin as is needed. So thank you so much for all that you for your kind attention. And I encourage you to obey the gospel as we close this out at this time.